Welcome to the Ferris Love Podcast. Here we explore spiritual insights and practical strategies to help you cultivate a family life rooted in beautiful, self-giving love. Join us as we invite experts to share uplifting perspectives and actionable advice for navigating the joys and challenges of modern family dynamics. Welcome back to the Ferris Love Podcast. Today on the show, we have Mary Hunt, Professor of Psychology and Business at Ave Maria University, where she has taught for over 10 years. Mary specializes in leadership, organizational development, and work-life balance. In addition to her academic role, she also co-founded a consulting company, Home Advantage Plus, which helps professionals navigate that family and work-life balance. So today on the show, Mary, we'll be discussing how we manage work-life balance and grow in our family time. Mary, thank you so much for being on our show today.
Thank you, Mary Grace. I'm excited to be with you. I really appreciate the invitation.
So we'd love to just get to know you a little bit more. Can you share with us your background? Kind of tell us how you ended up at Ave Maria, sure. And then also like what you've been recently working on.
Sure, absolutely. Well, I am an industrial organizational psychologist, which is kind of a mouthful, and people know what psychologists are, and they often think of clinical psychologists. Mm-hmm. But the area of IO psychology, industrial organizational psychology, is all about the psychology of people and work, right? Things like leadership, teams, etc. But I have, prior to my academic work in becoming a psychologist, I was in business and consulting for quite a long time. And so currently I'm a professor, as you mentioned, a professor of business and psychology at Ave Maria University here in Florida. And my research focus is on work-family dynamics. And so as I, you know, entered my doctoral program, I wanted to find somewhere where I could take the work that I had been doing with, as you mentioned, Home Advantage, which I'll share with you a little bit, but to be able to focus on delving more into this dynamic of work and family issues, whether that's balance and conflict, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So actually I started that consulting firm with my mom years ago, which focused on the needs of, you know, that so many of us have facing our, how we care for our homes in a way that effectively supports our family life and our goals. And so that business really started with a lot of interactive training programs, primarily with kind of Fortune 500 companies in the early days when companies were really trying to promote work-family balance for their employees. There was kind of like an underlying self-interest that these companies had, that if their employees had a better balance of work and family, then they'd be more dedicated employees. Mm-hmm. But my involvement there was looking at how can we actually help people in their home lives, to give them greater peace and support their family lives. So fast forward, today at Ave Maria, we are actually building, in the building stages of a new, what we're calling a center for home and family, to provide our students, our alumni, and the broader community with practical resources and education as they look ahead to starting and creating their own homes and families. So I teach general management and psychology courses, vocational psychology. But over the last few years, I've been teaching within our marriage and family minor. I teach a course called Work, Motherhood, and Catholic Family Life. And that's been kind of a platform for us to offer this more broadly to students within this center that we're starting to build.
Wow, that's so exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting.
Very cool. Yeah. It sounds very different too, compared to like,
it is different. I appreciate you saying that, because this might be something that you've had on the podcast before. Maybe you've had them already, but for example, at the University of St. Thomas in Houston, they're doing a wonderful new master's program that's related to gender and these gender issues and women. So for example, a lot of work is being done in that area. Less is being done on this more practical side of how we support women and men in their family dynamics on a practical level day to day. So we're hoping that we can complement some of the wonderful work that's being done in other universities.
Wow, that's amazing. And have you noticed since, you know, you've been teaching for a little while and you started off with Home Advantage and how it was helping like the Fortune 500 companies, have you seen a shift, or I guess what the differences could be between current students, let's say your students nowadays, looking at the home life, like looking at that kind of thing versus how they might've been 10 years ago?
Oh, absolutely. I think one of the big differences is between now and 10 to 15 years ago, even there's many that I'd like to share with you, but one in particular is in the mindset of the Gen Z students and younger millennials is kind of a evolution of what was historically what came out of the second and third wave feminist attitudes of this need for women in particular to have to juggle everything, to be everything, and to do everything, and to have outside work responsibilities, which many do, and that's wonderful. But today I see a shift in mentality in terms of not across the board. And I think if we looked at the statistics in the United States, it's not everywhere, but we're seeing more of this attitude of the second and third wave feminists decided, they said, you know, you have choice. So you can make a choice and you can choose now to get out and work and you can have children later if you ever want to have children. And a lot of these younger women are saying, my choice is to have children now, maybe get creative and have a career in a different way later. I think that was something I wanted to share, that idea of the shift of technology, I think, and there's some negatives to it with regard to work-life balance that we can talk about. But one of the positives, I think, is that it has opened up opportunities for work. I mean, even in your, I assume perhaps you're working from home, right?
Yep.
So it has opened up many more opportunities for people to be creative about how they integrate work and family.
I love that.
And I see that mentality in our younger students.
Well, that's a great mentality. I mean, that's very positive. Yeah. I love to hear that.
It is. I think it is.
Yeah. So let's start with, so we're going to get into kind of those nitty gritty details of the work-life balance and all that, but can we start with how you would define just, you know, a great work-life balance in today's world?
Sure. Sure. Actually, I'm going to definitely answer your question towards the end of this response, but actually, like others in this field of work-family research, I tend to prefer the term for this phenomenon to be more about other terms rather than balance. For one reason being that balance implies kind of a zero-sum perspective, wherein I'm always taking away from one domain to give to another, and something is always going to suffer. I think, as we move forward, there's some positive to balance as well. But I also think it's kind of beautiful to think of it in other terms. Now, over the past, really the height, this research in this area in psychology has been burgeoning in the last 40 years, and the term work-family conflict was the variable that was really measured in the early days in late 80s of this dynamic. And it by its nature, it implied this conflict between the two domains. And that conflict certainly does exist. And that tension we know implies kind of a negative focus that we want to overcome, which is very true. And we want to talk about that today. But there has been this shift in perspective, I think. And sometimes what many people are looking at now, and I've kind of been attracted to this term integration, work-family integration, which might be a healthy perspective to think about this word integral, what the word integral means. It kind of implies being part of a whole. And in this case, work and family are necessary component parts of the wholeness of a person's life and the wholeness of a family. It really implies a necessary kind of unity of the elements in our lives, and it kind of overturns that kind of negative tone of balance that we might fall into. That kind of implies, oh, I always have too many work demands or too many family demands, and there's this constant fight, so to speak. So perhaps that kind of term work family integration, not that, of course, we can still use the term balance, but that can remind us of the sort of healthy and holy nature of work, right? That it's not bad and it's not meant to be contradictory to family. Both paid and unpaid work outside the family and within the family have this value contributing to the wholeness of our life. But to your point, to answer your question about balance, there's balance itself is not a bad term, right? It can draw on Aristotle's concept of eudaimonia that is often translated into human flourishing, perhaps, but that idea of living a virtuous life in accord with one's purpose and one's values, right? Mm-hmm. So balance, that has very positive connotations. So yeah. To kind of go back to answer your question, in this context, I would probably define healthy work-family balance as an individual and family's ability to maintain an integration of the various aspects of our lives in virtuous ways to kind of keep our personal and family priorities aligned.
Mm. Love that. Yeah, I love mention that you know, I will use that now, integration. I love good. That. This is making sure to include. I guess we probably don't think about that very often. Just that unity of, yes, your work and your family life, they go together. It's not like one separate than the other. Find that culture just chooses to separate those things? Is that, maybe not choosing, yes. But like when we look at culture and what they're encouraging us to kind of take on as an individual with this work life integration. Do you see
you
that it's...
Feel free to use balance. They're both good words. I just wanted to introduce that too.
No, I love that. So that's why. But yeah, with that kind of mentality, what do you notice that culture is pushing versus I love that like what you're doing here at Ave Maria and with your classes and with everything?
Well, the world, yes. I think culturally that has changed mentalities basically over the last 150 years. Mm-hmm. The historical shifts that came from industrialization, which moved workers from an agricultural and local kind of trade-based work that was based in the home or very close to the home, right, in your local little town, right, meant that the family was very much aligned together in the work that they did. Industrialization led to this idea of people going off to the city, going farther away to a manufacturing setting somewhere else to do their work. And that really, really caused this sort of break, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And I think also along with the economic demands, especially in throughout the world, but especially in the Western countries, this idea of almost necessitating a two-income family to meet basic economic needs. And then these feminist mindsets that I sort of was referring to before, that these cultural shifts drew women to working outside the home that also contributed to this work-family imbalance. Mm-hmm. I would say also culturally speaking, maybe we can bring up the technology here too, that while there are a lot of positives to technology, as I mentioned earlier, in giving us so many more opportunities, that sense of, especially I would say in recent years, the last decade, I think it's improved a lot because people are a lot more aware of it, but that 24/7 access of with your cell phone, with your email and workplace bosses, et cetera, being able to reach you all the time, that has caused a stress, an added stress that has obviously impacted that feeling of balance.
Mm-hmm. And that goes into my next question of with families. I mean, that is obviously one of those challenges that families face, having that kind of lack of boundaries in the sense of communication in the midst of work. You also mentioned, women, the idea of having to have a dual income. Are there any other challenges that families face nowadays with approaching that kind of, that work-life balance integration?
I think one challenge that there are many, but one that comes to mind actually is drawn out of my work with Home Advantage in a lot of ways, but this mindset, the differing mindsets that we have when we're in the kind of paid workplace versus being in the home. Mm-hmm. And something that I like to share with people, especially women, but men and women who are taking care of their homes, is that it is not linear work in the way that work outside the home is, right? Mm-hmm. Outside our homes, when we go to work, even if you're working from home, right, you have a project, right? You're going to do this podcast, you're going to edit this podcast, submit this podcast, and it's done, and you have this sense of accomplishment that it's finished. You know, people, we get our performance reviews, we see this endpoint in mind, and then we move on to the next project, we get paid, right, which is this sense of accomplishment. Whereas the work that we do in our homes is unpaid, for the most part unpaid, right? Mm-hmm. And it starts over every single day, right? Anybody that has ever cleaned their, cleaning the kitchen, right? And why, okay, two hours later, it's messy again, right? Mm-hmm. And that kind of frustration that comes from a linear mindset and not recognizing that actually the fact that it is cyclical is a sign that we're living with healthy, growing people, right? Human beings that are alive and well and living their lives. And yes, it's creating more work, but if we can kind of shift that mindset, it doesn't take all the pressure away. But I do think that that linear mindset of equating our home lives to our work lives, mm-hmm. Can cause a lot of frustration. So that's one. I think other challenges, I don't know, maybe I should let you jump
in.
No,
keep going. No, I was just looking at the next question and you keep going with your challenges.
Great.
I'll come back to that.
I think this might go into, perhaps it contributes to your next question, and that mm-hmm. is the other challenge is communication and not mm-hmm. communicating. Mm-hmm. So not clearly communicating with your spouse about expectations with regard to practical aspects of balance, how each one uses their time, how we expect our spouse to use their time, where our attention is at work or our attention is at home, and technology can come into that. And then bringing up that point of boundaries, as you said, years ago when we first started Home Advantage, I remember we were talking with a priest who said that, I'm sure perhaps you've talked about this with others, one of the biggest obstacles that come up in marriages and that kind of lead to separations of different types are financial, a lot of financial tension and concerns. But he said people don't like to talk about this because it sounds kind of mundane, but he said the disagreements that come from just the way the home environment is mm-hmm. and how they live together at home, that sort of incompatibility that they haven't discussed mm-hmm. actually leads to a lot of resentments and things that can contribute to this kind of tension, work-life tension. Yeah. And then just on a very practical level, the other thing that I see commonly in terms of a challenge is physical and mental clutter of mm-hmm. not being able to be peacefully in the present because of the clutter. The physical, I think, is kind of obvious, but I think people forget about that mm-hmm. it doesn't have to mean that we have to be on the minimalist bandwagon trend, but especially with children too, and different ways, I think we have a much better understanding of whether diagnosed or not, attention, aspects of people's attention when they're distracted. And I think just kind of addressing that kind of clutter, whether it's clutter in our mind or clutter in our physical space that might come from poor planning, all of those I think are common challenges that contribute to imbalances in work family.
Yeah. No, I'm just thinking of clutter. Yeah. Whenever, just when the idea of, I used to teach. And so the idea of coming home to a house that I didn't like, because yes. when I lived on my own, like I didn't clean up, and then I come home and then you're like, wow, that's even worse because, you know, there's just not it mentally, it doesn't give you a break. And then right. even now, like with children and stuff, you think of all the things you collect over time, and it's just,
absolutely,
you know, it's crazy how it just kind of happens that fast.
For sure. And it happens to everybody. And it's really common. And I think we need to talk about it because, and it's being, well, that was something I wanted to share later, but it's being talked about a lot more, which I think is helpful online. You know, there's so much online now, and I think people are getting better at expressing their need for help in these areas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you mentioned mindset, and I'd love to touch, to kind of go back on that. Excuse me. Are there any ways that parents can shift their mindset to a way, like you talked about the linear mindset and then that kind of that cyclical.
Mm-hmm.
So when looking for solutions to kind of make life more integrative as opposed to, you know, balanced, how can we use that mindset, or even just kind of those, knowing those struggles that you just mentioned ahead just now, how can we use that to kind of shift our goals in order to be able to then have more integration as opposed to just kind of this or that?
I think some of it, the ability to have a healthy mindset about these things, comes from self-knowledge. Mm-hmm. So knowing ourselves, knowing our personality, maybe knowing how, you know, how we were raised and how is that contributed to the expectations we have in our home life. Back to that idea of communication, when you think about it, by nature, every married couple, they're coming from different families that had different habits and had different ways of being and ways of living. So I think that knowing ourselves, or not that we can know ourselves perfectly going into marriage and early family life, but getting to know ourselves, asking the questions, right? And knowing what rubs me the wrong way, what kind of observing ourselves a little bit in terms of how our habits are helping us or not helping us. And I think there you have such a wonderful opportunity if you have that bond with your spouse of asking each other, you know, well, what do you notice bothers me? Or what do I, you know, tell me what bothers you? And, you know, because a lot of times coming from the other person, they have eyes to see something that we haven't been able to see ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that can help us, that can really open up all kinds of just conversations and deepen self-knowledge in that regard too. I think I've kind of maybe shifted off from what your question was.
But, no, that's great. No, but that goes back to your communication piece, which is one of those struggles. And so that's excellent. I'm curious with just how we are today, you do have a lot of dual income, you know, two parents working. Mm-hmm. How would you recommend that mindset, or excuse me, how would you recommend two parents who have to work, you know, and how they can then work to have a good family life at home while they're have to, you know, also work at the same time. Cause you know, in a single income home, you have the woman, traditionally the woman who stays home,
right?
Cooks, cleans, all
that
stuff.
That.
Yeah.
No, it's fantastic.
Great.
Yeah.
And, but then there's like that whole shift now with culture and everything that we do have the dual income. So how would you recommend maybe approaching it in a very wholesome way?
Yeah. I think ideally, I do think that is to the extent that it can be done with economically speaking and even psychologically speaking for the woman in particular, if there can be a period of time where the woman can stay at home full time, I do think that helps a lot for when perhaps she can lay the groundwork for systems, for lack of a better word, routines that can then be built on if she then goes out of the home to work as well later. So not to minimize that, I think sacrifices that are involved in having the wife stay at home for a period of time can become extremely, they're extremely valuable for building this foundation of balance. At the same time, I think to more directly answer your question, I think, and again, it's back to another form of mindset, is to really be thinking in that more integral way, that the way we live our lives is not 50-50, whether that comes from our work, in our workplace, like I need I need just as many hours for work as you do. Or, you spent 10 hours the other day at work and now I need 10 hours. Well, maybe you do, but maybe you don't. Maybe there are phases in life where one spouse needs more time at work and another one can put more time at home. So that let alone all of the work of the home, not mm-hmm. being a 50-50 proposition, right? I think we've seen that, and I'm kind of happy to see it. I think that women have a particular gift for creating home. Mm-hmm. We just do, but that doesn't mean that men don't contribute to that and can't take the lead on that in many ways. And in fact, I think we see this a lot more online now. Mm-hmm. I'm not on TikTok, but on Instagram, you can see, you see this, you see men saying, that they don't help. They're not helping at home because it's their home, right? Mm-hmm. They're not helping their wife. In fact, this is like harkens back to, without taking too much of your time, to earlier classes in these companies that we taught. The majority of the people there were women who took these classes, mm-hmm. but invariably there'd be a couple of men in the class. And when we'd go around, why are you here? Why did you want to come to this workshop? The men would say, usually the men would say something like, because my wife also works or my wife is very busy and I really want to help. I want to be able to help her at home. Mm-hmm. And invariably you'd hear this audible sigh among all the women going, oh, like that's so sweet that you want to help at home. Now, granted, this was more than a decade ago. And I think mindsets have shifted quite a lot, even for the better, that, it's helping each other, right? Mm-hmm. You're helping each other. And one person may have more responsibilities that outside the home, one may have more responsibilities inside the home. But this idea of working together mm-hmm. on that, I think that's a big aspect. Yeah. But again, I'll stop there for the moment to see if I've answered your question.
Yeah, no, that's great. Yeah, no, you have. Yes. And I love that. Yeah. Mentioning just, how mindsets have shifted for men, at least in that sense of just kind of being more involved. I'm curious what your thoughts are on, as we kind of, this month is about protecting time. And so, and just kind of, that work-life balance of the, integration. And we discuss AI and like technology and things like that. So mm-hmm. I'm curious your thoughts mm-hmm. about how technology can either hinder and or mm-hmm. provide like positive relief or whatever you want to call it mm-hmm. for this work-life integration.
I think in starting maybe with the negative to end more with the positive, mm-hmm. I think the very obvious way that it hinders is when technology is sapping energy away from the human beings in the home, whether that's the spouse or the spouse and children, mm-hmm. When scrolling kind of takes over and distracts, right? I think there are a lot of, obviously we know there are tons of positive technologies that a century ago, it would take all day long to wash the sheets and hang them out to dry, right? Yeah. We all know that having a washer dryer, having a dishwasher, all of these being able to go shopping once a week and have a refrigerator to put all those kinds of technology are fantastic. But these new forms of technology that kind of encroach on this human, the human interaction, it obviously can be a big problem. And we see, in fact, I was at a conference that was focused on altruism, and my contribution had to do with altruism at home. But one of the presenters, he was speaking about the shifting nature of, he's an architect, and this changing nature internationally of the structures of homes. And that idea of technology came up with each person kind of going off into their corner. So of course, in those ways, that's very negative. At the same time, I think it's like night and day having the communication that we can with each other, with cell phones, even obviously that facilitates, what's needed now and who can do what, and so-and-so can pick something up. But also I do think if it's used in a healthy way, there are so many amazing resources online, whether it is through AI, just going in and to ChatGPT and saying, how do I do such and such, or how can I, whatever, or going to so many wonderfully rich creators that are giving fantastic knowledge. And then thirdly, I think with technology, this is putting people together in a way, it doesn't replace the face-to-face completely. And I think that's a big negative that we've had over the years, of course, is this isolation, not having the support of our immediate family or extended family as we're having children, not even knowing your neighbors, you know, in order to get together. That's, those are all kind of negatives of this isolation. But maybe one positive of what's going on online is creating new forms of community if we use it in a healthy way, and if we're vulnerable, and if we're honest, and if we're sharing our real needs and advice from our experience, I think there can be positives.
Yeah, great. Thank you. I want to know what you would think about. So this idea of, you know, you have the traditional family model, which is like the mom staying home, the dad working, and then you have, you know, kind of our new dual work people, both parents working. How can our parents who, whether or not both of them are working or whether or not there's one working, can they encourage kind of their own children to embrace this work-life, you know, balance integration, so that they, as they prepare to grow up and become adults themselves, can then also demonstrate that to their family, to their friends?
I think there are a few things. I mean, one is the kind of obvious that has been talked about a lot, but that we help, that the adults as parents make choices about their children's activities, that they don't let the children drive that, right? Because I think sometimes it can be, obviously you get your children's input, but I think sometimes that can be, the child is more influenced by peer pressure at times. At the same time, sometimes parents can be overly ambitious with regard to their children's extracurricular activities, and maybe not in a healthy way, especially given in the United States, given our distances and, you know, how far things are and the driving and all of that. But choosing children's activities based on their individual needs, but also based on the needs of the family overall. Right. Mm-hmm. Maybe adding one more, you know, having a three sport child in high school, you know, that adding that third sport is not going to be healthy for the family. Right. Mm-hmm. It's going to mean we can't even go to mass as a family on Sunday, or we can't, you know, there are a lot of things. Maybe we're going in multiple directions rather than having those expectations, external expectations and peer pressures. With regard to at home, being at home, I think one thing that's a major concern that parents need to take more action on, or can take more action on, is the use of technology that to isolate within the home, right? Mm-hmm. As children get older and have access to technology, and again, go off and get immersed in a world that's not the world of their family. Mm-hmm. So as much pushback as children might give their parents, the fortitude that parents need to hold out on that, because then when the child is not immersed in their own world technologically, they can be truly more part of the family. Another thing that we know through just child development is that, and you'll see this in the very early stages, especially at ages 2 and 3, children want to do everything that their parents do. they want to imitate them. No wonder we have a lot of toys of like the little vacuum cleaners and the little ovens and the little, you know, because they want to be like, you know, big people and do all these things. So we can, and I think Montessori teaches that in a lot of ways, that children can do a lot more than we realize they can do. And I think it's healthy to get them engaged as being part of the family. This is their home. This is a cautionary story without spending too much time on it, but in one of my colleagues' classes, I was a guest speaker, and there was a group of students in that class who one of them shared that their mother and then others were nodding, that their mother would not allow the children to do anything in the home in the sense of cleaning or dishes or helping around the house at all. And her mentality was that she was a stay-at-home mom, and she felt this was her job and that was her job and that was not their job. And, you know, to respect her, I have no idea who this lady is, but to respect someone's opinion with regard to that, I can see where they're coming from. But to kind of isolate children from their responsibility as part of the family in the long run, first of all, it doesn't help around the home, but also it's, and maybe they're not a help, right? So when they're little, they're not a help, but they're learning ways of integrating their personal lives, their lives at home, with their outside responsibilities. And they see the value of being an active participant in the family, contributing in the family.
Mm, that's a, wow, great point. And great tale. Cautionary tale. I think it's a good point because, I mean, when you mentioned that, thinking about the kids not doing anything around the house, well, they go to school, that's their job right now.
That's right. And that was her mentality.
But then they come back
and they have all these activities. They have all these activities and they're so tired and they go to demanding schools that have a lot of homework. I think all of that needs to be considered by the parents in the sense of, that's not how their whole life is going to be. Are we doing them a disservice by not helping them to learn how to integrate and balance with real life responsibilities when they're younger? Now, there have been other arguments for why sometimes women who work full time outside the home do not give a lot of responsibility to children in the home, maybe because there's a sense of guilt, like I don't want them to do it because I'm out working. But so to find sort of that healthy balance, right? And and looking, and there's a lot of literature out there too about what children can do at different ages, you know, not giving them things that are beyond their capacity, either emotionally or physically, but helping them to take on different responsibilities at different stages of life can be very wholesome for them.
And produces great adults, I would say. Adults that know how to manage their time and all those things as well.
That's right.
If you have, let's say, a parent who like loves to hear what you, they're loving what you're saying and they agree and, but they just have no idea where to begin, you know, with, so they, let's say they, maybe they work, they feel like they work too much. Maybe they, you know, don't have that relationship with their family members that they hoped that they would have had. Do you have any suggestions for them to kind of start small, to kind of make those small changes?
Well, first, I think I would recommend that they, I think they have to have grace, right? Have some grace with themselves and like the sense of that there will always be waves, right? And there will be periods where we're feeling like under the waves and we're feeling overwhelmed, maybe even from one day to the next. So I think having sort of, okay, start by having patience, right? To kind of also look at our mindset and say, this is not about perfection. That was the maybe downside of the social media that I brought up the positive before, but one downside is sort of creating these images that are not really real, right? And not making our comparisons, that every single family and each spouse, that we're all different. We're all very unique. So to have that patience, but then in a practical way, back to communication, right? To the extent that you can, and again, every marriage is different and is at a different stage, but if you can communicate with your spouse without casting blame or guilt, but talking more about your own feelings and needs. Like, I'm feeling overwhelmed with this. This particular thing, it just kind of gets me down every day. Having the vulnerability to ask for help, which I think as women, we don't tend to have that. We have that do it all mentality. I should do it all. And we don't, it's hard for us to be vulnerable to say that we might need some help, right? That's natural to need help. And that's the nature of a truly integrated family, is when everybody is part of it. Again, everybody's in 100%, not 50-50. I think that would be the place to start, because, but in order to communicate, you have to reflect, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe even in prayer sometimes, I mean, if you're having that sense of being overwhelmed, there's nothing wrong with having a dialogue with our Lord and with our Lady, who was the greatest work-life integration, right? Because mm-hmm. she supported her son, she supported her husband. And to just lay it all out there and kind of ask for the insights in prayer. Where do I start? You know, is it my own perfectionism that's causing me this overwhelm? Is it practical time? Like, I wish we had more time for this. Wish my husband could be here for that. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, asking for those insights in prayer, I think, can be really, really helpful. And then moving into the communication.
Great. That's awesome.
And starting with clutter is always the number one.
Yeah,
thing.
The clutter. I was going to say.
Clutter with, you know, I one thing that everybody, that people have really said that works really well, and I've been very up and down in using this, but it doesn't have to be all or nothing. You know, take the 10, put, do the 10 minute pickup, you know, 10 minute timer, and how much can you do in 10 minutes? And then that's it, right? That's it for now. Yeah. Right. And it gives a great sense of relief. Like, okay, at least that part of that room or that corner is... I can take a breath.
That square foot.
Oh. That's right. That one square foot, right? Yeah. And maybe it means if you're really extremely overwhelmed, I think the idea too is asking for help. Maybe it needs help that's beyond your spouse, but looking for others, whether it's a friend or a family member. This is a big part of my research, is that social support makes a big difference with regard to how we can balance work and family. First with your spouse, but also the support of people in the community, extended family, to the extent that we can. Of course, everybody's busy.
Right, but, right. No, yeah. That's excellent. Okay, so before we kind of round out the conversation with, I'll have you share a little bit about Home Advantage and everything. Do you have any final thoughts that you'd like to share with our audience just about this whole work-life integration or anything else that you have final thoughts for?
Well, I think there is a lot of hope. I think one thing that's very encouraging is that people have become more and more focused on this in a more positive way, rather than just in the analyzing conflict. And I think people are also kind of taking control and saying, no, it's not just about putting more hours into work. My family deserves time. My family deserves my attention. And I think that's, regardless of background, religious affiliation, that's getting a lot more attention. And I think that's very, very hopeful. But back to the sort of practical individual side, I think it's also a great first step to look at that self-knowledge, to see where is one tiny virtue that I can start practicing that's going to contribute to the peace in my home, to contribute to, as you were talking about coming home from school, you know, when you were a teacher. There are many people that do not want to walk in the front door of their house or the garage door of their house, you know, however they get in their house, because of what's waiting for them. And I think that's really one of the goals. That's always been one of the goals of Home Advantage, to give people tools to find that peace in their homes, that their homes become a haven for their own and their family's growth.
Awesome. Well, yeah, share with us a little bit more about Home Advantage, what's going on with that. And then if there's anything else that you have that you'd like to share with our audience, we'll include it also in the show notes.
Absolutely. So actually we have materials that were I mentioned earlier that we used to do workshops, and we don't do that on a consistent basis now, because what we discovered was that people were much more open to learning in a peer shared environment. Mm-hmm. And so we took our material and we put it into more self-directed workbooks, where people could gather with friends or family members, you know, just a small group on a regular basis, with kind of a leader's guide, but nobody was the teacher. And they were able to share their best practices and get that sense of support. And so this summer we're going into a new edition of these books and relaunching them. So I can share that with you at some point for people to access those books and maybe have their own discussion groups. And we're partnering with another organization called Home Unlimited, which is based in Chicago and provides a lot of other wonderful resources with regard to the home in particular. Home Advantage has much more of a focus on this integration and looking at skills that we can use from our workplace or from our past experience and how we can use those in the home. So there's some new opportunities for resources coming out soon.
Oh, that's exciting. Oh, great. Yeah. That's exciting. So we'll definitely check back in with you on that when that comes out and have our guests be able to check out those resources. And thank you so much, Mary, for being on our show and sharing your expertise in this field of the family life, work life integration. Love that. So we're so happy that you could join us today. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary Grace.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Ferris Love Podcast. In 2025, we are continuing to share the beautiful devotion to Mary, Mother of Ferris Love, while providing practical tools and advice for parents, couples, and families. You can help us with this mission by sharing this episode with a friend, subscribing to the podcast, or leaving a review. To learn more, visit us at ferrislovefamilyproject.org.